जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Vicharya Astotara Sata Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Guru Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Vicharya Astotara Sata Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri 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 Guru Parampara Ki Jai. Shri Sad Goshai Prabhu Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai. Nam Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sukho Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gora Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shyam Kunda Radha Kund Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. So, just as a housekeeping, is this being live streamed? This is being live streamed, right? So people can ask questions online, and how do they do that? Okay, so go on the temple website, which is iskcon@chicago.com. iskcon@chicago.com, yes, okay. Okay, there's an online section. Okay, all right, so they can ask questions, all right, okay, fine. Thank you. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the topic today is challenge in leadership. So I'm going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita to start the discussion. And then basically the way we're going to talk about this is that I'm going to say a few things from Srila Prabhupada's writings and his talks about leadership and the challenge that we might face there. And also then read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings that elucidate that subject a little better in terms of going deep into what the real issues can be in the challenges that we face as leaders. And then what I'm going to do is ask if any of you have anything you'd like to say or any questions you'd like to ask so that we can then mine that topic further. Okay? All right, so if any of you know this verse, you can chant along with me. Yad yad acharati sreshthas. Yad yad acharati sreshthas tat tat evetaro janaha tat tat evetaro janaha sa yat paramanam kurute sa yat paramanam kurute Lokastat anuvartate. Lokastat anuvartate. Yad yad achariti sreshthas. Tad tad evetaro janaha. Sa yat paramanam kurute. Lokastat anuvartate. So this is the translation. Please repeat after me. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets, by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Okay, so again the translation is, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. By his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Sanghita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard Shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of state, the father, and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So then Srila Prabhupada writes a wonderful letter to one of his disciples, my dear Jagjivan Das, and I'm going to read just one part of it which pertains to leadership. So Srila Prabhupada writes, so far as being leader is concerned, leader means spiritually, not materially. This you should understand very clearly. If spiritual potency and strength is there, then material intelligence will automatically follow. We must have a solid foundation of chanting and following the regulative principles. Then one is fit to lead others. He says after that, I hope you will understand this point. And then, in a morning walk in Los Angeles on July 9th, 1974, again, Srila Prabhupada is speaking a number of things. It's a conversation that happens over about 20 minutes. And again, one part of it, he speaks about leaders. So he says, Murkhya padesho hi prakopaya nashantaya payaha panam bhujanganam kevalam visha vardhanam. This is from the Hitopadesha, chapter 3, text 4. So, we have to become very strong preacher. Then this movement will stay. If you simply take to temple worship, it will not stay very long. Just like, and then Ridhananda Maharaj chips in, especially the leaders must preach, Prabhupada says, Ridhananda again, especially the leaders must preach, Prabhupada, and the leaders means, if the leaders are good, then it will continue. Bali Mardan, Prabhu speaks next. If they are not preaching, they are not leaders, they are bogus. Pause. Prabhupada, leaders means they should behave in such a way so that by following them, others will be benefited. That is leader. Jayatirtha Prabhu. That's a perfect definition, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, eh? Jayatirtha, that's a perfect definition. That should be in the dictionary like that. Because Prabhupada, often when he'd say things, it would be so clear as daylight to people who are hearing it, they would think like, wow, this is the correct definition. For example, Prabhupada defined the word service to mean expression of love. Service means expression of love. Now, nowhere in any dictionary do you find that definition of service. But it's actually the perfect definition. And you'll see again in this talk how that becomes the real perfect definition of the word service. So then Jayatirtha, Prabhu continues, the leader, a leader means one that if someone follows him, he is benefited. Prabhupada, that is leader. Okay, then I go into another conversation that Prabhupada had, conversation in which, again, the devotees are speaking with Prabhupada, and this is a room conversation this time. And so there's a devotee by the name of Krishnakanti. So he's speaking, he says, therefore, we must present a better civilization. Prabhupada, eh? Krishnakanti. We must present a better civilization. Prabhupada said, not better, best. The civilization, everything is all, this he's talking about the civilization now. Says, the civilization, everything is all false, cheating. Everything. Everything is cheating. Without this Krishna consciousness, all other consciousness, they're simply cheating. That is called Maya, illusion. If you remain in any other consciousness except Krishna consciousness, that means you are in illusion. You are misguided. That is explained in the second verse of the first canto. Dharma prajoita ketavo atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vastava vastu vadyam atra. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 1, chapter 1, text 2. Quote, all kinds of cheating religion system, all kinds of religious systems is kicked out. Close quotes. This is Prabhupada quoting. That is the second verse. Prajohita, completely cleansed of all cheating type of religion. This has to be translated into Bengali by these words. Prithivite ache yatha kichu dharma name chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur writing. Whatever is going on throughout the whole world in the name of religion, Bhagavata, according to the Bhagavata, they're all cheating. They're all cheating. This Prabhupada is repeating this. I'm not repeating this. Prabhupada is repeating. Bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. Chale means cheating. Chala, chala means the word chala. Chale means cheating. Jayatita, what exactly is the definition of a cheat? Prabhupada, eh? Jayatita, what is the definition of a cheat? Prabhupada, cheat means that I am exploiting you. I am saying that I am creating you a religious, but you are most sinful. I am creating a most sinful, that is cheating. Guru Kripa, giving something under false pretensions, because they're asking, what does he mean when he just said what he just said? So Guru Kripa Prabhu is saying, giving something under false pretensions. Prabhupada, that's all. You are taking something else while thinking something else. I think that might have been you're talking something else while thinking. Well, you're taking something else while thinking something else. That is cheating. Actually, we see the so-called religious system. Religion means to become lover of God. But who is lover of God? Do not know what is God and what to speak of loving Him. They do not know, have no clear conception of God even. And then finally, one more I'm going to read, which is the last para of a purport to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 10. He says, it is confirmed in the Vedas, therefore, that the Lord is the chief leader, and all other living entities are subordinate to Him. For only the Lord satisfies all the needs of all other living entities. Okay, so now we know in the morning, when we do the morning program, do we chant the 10 offenses here also? After the Mangala.
Mangala chant. The Mangala Arati prayer. So, actually, yeah, what is the last thing we say when we offer
Our obeisances to the devotees? What is we say? We say, we talk about, before we offer the obeisances to the deities, to the devotees, we say, and the 10th offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names of the Lord and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in this matter, right? It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. One who claims to be a Vaishnava must carefully guard against these 10 offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired goal of life or success in life, which is Krishna Prema. Everybody goes loudly, Krishna Prema, like that, right? So that is actually, Krishna Prema is actually religion. Religion means to actually have Krishna Prema. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very nicely describes, based on a conversation between Radharani and Krishna, there's a conversation that's going on between the two of them. Krishna has come in the form of a very beautiful gopi, and She, this gopi is actually a disciple of Brindadevi. There are a number of Brindadevis in the forest of Vrindavan. And one of them, her mentor, her spiritual master or guru, is a Manjari, whose name is Ranga Manjari. And so this is the grand disciple. So Krishna becomes like the grand disciple of Ranga Manjari and the disciple of Brindadevi. And very beautifully dressed, she goes up to Radharani and she complains to Radharani about Krishna. She says, you know, I can see that Krishna gives you so much trouble while dancing with you in the Rasa Leela. He leaves the Rasa Leela. There's so many ways he leaves you. He separates himself from you. And we can see, everybody can see how much misery you're suffering as a result of separation from Krishna. And all these wonderful gopis are also suffering. Why do you actually, you know, you should ditch this Krishna. You should dump him, you know what I mean? He's not a good lover. And then, this is Krishna speaking, okay? But he's in the form of a gopi and he's speaking. And then he goes on and on and on berating Krishna, you know? And some of the gopis are really happy to hear this. They're like, yes, you're right, he is a rascal. You know, especially Lalita Manjari, Lalita Gopi, like that, you know. And but he can see that Radharani is not happy. She is actually like very, very, you know, getting very tense about it, you know. Why are you saying all these things about Krishna, you know what I mean? So then she explains to him, look, you really don't have an idea. You don't know what's happening here. You have no idea what love is all about. Now, let me teach you something about love. If you will promise that you'll never go to the heavenly planets and you'll never want to stay anywhere else except here in the forest of Vrindavan, then I will tell you. I'll tell you the secret of success, you know, like that. So she actually preaches to Krishna. And in that preaching, we get to understand what the challenge is in the life of a leader. Now, who is a leader? A leader is a person who preaches Krishna consciousness. Simple definition, okay? A leader is a person who preaches. Because the leader does not preach Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada just defined that that leader is a cheater, right? They're a cheater, that's all they are. Because they're going to give you something that is worthless. The only worthy thing in this world is Krishna Prema. That is the purpose of life. Our ultimate purpose is Krishna Prema. So, she actually, in that discussion, she's actually talking about how this Krishna Prema works. And in understanding this, we can see that as leaders, because one of the ways we can define that a leader is actually one who teaches about Krishna consciousness is that it is Lord Chaitanya's order, right? Yare take tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara gyaya guru hana tarai desh. That was the order of Lord Chaitanya, that everybody, every person must become guru. And whoever they meet, they must preach Krishna consciousness to them. Because that is, ultimately, everybody is looking for Krishna. Ultimately, everybody is seeking Krishna Prema. And until they get Krishna Prema, they'll not be satisfied. They'll keep searching and searching and searching until they come to the point that they find Krishna Prema. Because that is ultimately the goal of every living entity. Of every living entity. Why? Because every living entity is a servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hoye Nitera Krishna Das. Every living entity is actually a servant of Krishna. Now this is not, I'm not trying to speak as a fanatical Hare Krishna, by the way. These are all things that can be proven and can be proven to the fiercest of materialists, the fiercest of born-again Christians, the fiercest of an ISIS terrorist, the fiercest of, you bring anybody, you can bring Satan in front of us and we can convince Satan that this is actually a factual statement. These statements can be proved and they can be proved by many, many different methods, wonderful methods, and you just have to understand who you're talking to, what their nature is, and based on their nature, if you present your understanding to them, they will actually accept this as the truth. Why? Because this is the supreme absolute truth. And the beauty about supreme absolute truth is that it works whether you accept it or you don't accept it. It actually works whether you believe it or you don't believe it. Like that. You see? It has to work because that's the nature of the supreme absolute truth. It is so potent, it is so powerful. It's two things. It's autonomous and it's independent. It's autonomous means it doesn't need any other support. It can itself do the job. You just have to say something that is the Supreme Absolute Truth, it'll have its effect. Whether you understood it or not, whether the other person understood it or not, makes no difference. It'll have its effect. And two, it is independent. It does not need a support system. And what is the biggest support system we use in preaching? Who can answer that question? What is the biggest support system we use in preaching? When we go out and preach, okay, let's say Bhakti Jeffrey, is there Bhakti Jeffrey here, by the way? I hope not. Okay, good. There's no Bhakti Jeffrey here. All right. So Bhakti Jeffrey is going out preaching. What is Bhakti Jeffrey's number one support that he's using? Yes. Sorry? Yeah, you're not sure. That's right. I'm not looking for a perfect answer, but this is the answer. Go ahead. Purity of faith. Okay. Okay. Purity of faith, is there, huh? Mercy. Okay. Shastra. Yeah. Scripture. Okay. Yeah. Krishna, yeah. Sorry? Tradition, yeah, the tradition. Actually, the number one thing he's using is himself. Right? If you're going out and preaching, you're the one who's speaking now, right? So you're using your own voice. You're thinking, I am preaching. Even if you are a very humble person, at least you admit to yourself, I'm preaching out right now. I'm preaching. I better behave myself. I better carry the mercy of Krishna. I better deliver Krishna to somebody, the tradition of Krishna to somebody, all the answers that you gave, right? But actually, Bhakti Jeffrey is using himself. So the meaning of the word independent is that the Supreme Absolute Truth does not even require me to speak or anybody to speak. It'll work on its own. It doesn't need any second agent. This is the beauty of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And so, how does this Krishna Prema work? So in that sense, every one of us is a leader because we're supposed to meet, everybody we meet, we're supposed to talk about Krishna consciousness, right? At one time, Prabhupada was giving a talk, and there were many, many great devotees sitting in front of him, and some of this sannyas leaders sitting with a danda, and somebody had asked a question in the ilk that, you know, who is the best preacher? How do you become the best preacher? How do you become a great preacher? And so Srila Prabhupada had a very small girl, her name was Saraswati. Her mother is here with us today. But he had Saraswati, who was a five-year-old at that time, who was sitting in the audience, stand up. He said, Saraswati, stand up. And she stood up. And so Prabhupada said to her, who is Krishna? And Saraswati's answer was, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, she is the best preacher. Because she is speaking the Supreme Absolute Truth. That's what a preacher is supposed to do. Otherwise, you're cheating. If you're trying to impress others how much you know about Krishna consciousness, your Krishna consciousness will fly out of you. Radharani gives that answer, by the way. She says, your Krishna consciousness will fly away the moment you try to impress anybody with your Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness doesn't like to be around people who are proud, who are falsely proud. The only reason any one of us has Krishna consciousness is because Krishna has given it to us. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, you can go on chanting for 5 million lifetimes and nothing will happen. You can chant Hare Krishna for 5 million lifetimes and nothing will happen. But when Krishna gives you Krishna consciousness, you have Krishna consciousness. So what makes that available to us? What makes that Krishna prema available to us is the challenge that we have as leaders. That is our challenge. And we should understand that challenge and rise to the occasion. Because then Krishna will allow us to become good leaders where we can reach out to many people and avail Krishna to them. Because Krishna is the best gift that you can give anybody. That's why in the six exchanges, loving exchanges, the first two are giving and accepting gifts. And Prabhupada said, the best gift you can give somebody is Krishna. Therefore, whoever you meet, you should say, Hare Krishna. Means, may you have Krishna. And if that person knows it, they also say back to you, Hare Krishna to you too. May you have Krishna too. It's a wonderful loving exchange. So in this statement that Radharani makes to Krishna, Radharani says, this is the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, only pure-hearted soul with mind imbued on affectionate attachment, free from all speculation alone, sits on the throne of natural love. So here are some clues. The fact is, we have to be affectionate. We have to be attached to people in a way that we are we are very interested, we are very concerned about their Krishna consciousness. We want everybody to have the best Krishna consciousness. So just like, you know, when you're parents and you have children, you want your children to have the best. So in the same way, a devotee wants that everybody else has the best, even better than he or she has. There's a saying in English, the teacher is the best student. But when you have a good teacher, the teacher wants that his or her student will do better in life than he or she did herself, right? So in the same way, the devotee has that same intention, that whoever I'm talking to is actually a greater devotee than I am, potentially. Either already doing that now, or potentially there. So with that attitude, you have to deal with people, and you have to be free from all speculation. You can't speculate in this game. There's no speculation. Because why? Speculation is not the supreme absolute truth. Deliver the supreme absolute truth. It works. It always works. There's a one nice story I can give, because all of you are generally preachers down here. There's a wonderful story of a disciple who went out and was doing book distribution and preaching to people, and came back to his spiritual master and he said, "You know, Guru Maharaj, I see so many people there, and especially the Indians that I see, they're saying, we know Krishna, we already know Krishna. What are you going to tell us about Krishna? Why don't you get a real job?" You know, they say to the preacher, right? "Why don't you get a real job and earn money that way? Why are you begging on the streets, selling these books and asking for donations?" You see? So he was feeling a little discouraged, the disciple was feeling discouraged. So the disciple came and told the spiritual master, "You know, it's not helping me, you know, when I hear these types of things. I'm feeling discouraged, you know. What should I do?" So the spiritual master said to him, "Well, you want to become the best preacher?" He said, "Yeah, I want." He said, "Okay, come with me." So he took him to the forest with a hammer in his hand. And he went, and there was this place with a huge rock. And he said, "I want you to crack this rock with this hammer." So the disciple thought, "What has that got to do with preaching?" He said, "No, you don't worry about that. You take the hammer and you hit the rock real hard, and I want you to crack it." So, and he said, "Really, hit it real hard. This is a pretty hard rock, you know." So the disciple took the hammer and he hit the rock real hard, you know. His hand ricocheted back and was like vibrating like this, you know, because of steel. The hammer was made of steel, and he's hitting a hard rock, you know what I mean? So it just ricocheted back. And he looked at the rock and he couldn't even see a dent on the rock. There wasn't even a dent on the rock. So he looks at his spiritual master and says, "Bro, you know, I'm a failure. It's obvious I'm a failure. Can't even make a dent on a rock with a hammer, you know." And spiritual master said, no, that's okay. But I want you to keep hitting that rock until it cracks. And then when you crack the rock, then you can come home and you can have some prasadam. Until then, no prasadam for you. You just keep hitting that rock until you crack it." The disciple said, "Okay." So he became determined. He said, "I want you to count and tell me how many times you hit the rock before it cracked." So the disciple started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. And he's hitting, you know, every time he's hitting the rock. On the 300th hit, when he hit the rock, the 300th time, he saw a fine crack on the surface of the rock. So he ran to the spiritual master, "Guru Maharaj, I cracked it. I cracked the rock." So Guru Maharaj said, "That's very nice." So he said, "How many times did it take you to crack the rock?" And he said, "Well, 300 times. Spiritual master said, "No, that's not correct." So he said, "299? He said, "No. 298? He said, "You thought I'm counting wrong. You know what I mean? I might have missed a few number here and there. So, but it was somewhere between 290 and 310. He said, "No. Can't have it between 200 and 400, he said. He's trying to think. There's a number there that he got, you know, and just trying to get the right number. Spiritual master said, "No." Spiritual master said, "I know exact number you hit the rock and it cracked." He said, "I can give you the exact number." He said, "How can you tell? You were sitting here, the rock was there." He said, "That's why I'm your spiritual master." He said, "I can tell you the exact time when you cracked that rock." So he said to his spiritual, "Tell me, what number did I crack that rock on?" He said, "You cracked the rock the first time you hit it." And he said, "Incredulous." He said, he's looking at his spiritual master, incredulous, saying, "No way, I did not crack that rock." So spiritual master says, how did I crack it?" He said, "Well, what happened was when you hit that rock really hard, the crack started in the heart of the rock. At the center of the rock, the crack started. And every time you were hitting it, the crack was traveling towards the surface. And the 300th time that you hit it, you saw the crack at the surface. But the crack had already started the first time when you had hit the rock, at the center of the rock. So you cracked it right then. So similarly, when you speak the supreme absolute truth, you're going to crack the heart of the person that you're speaking to, no matter how steel-framed that heart is. It's going to crack. It's going to take a little while for that crack to show up on the surface, depending on how hard the heart is. You know, if it's a rock-hard heart, it might take 300 repetitions. If it's a steel-hard heart, It might take 3,000 repetitions, but it'll happen. The crack starts by that process. So Radharani here says, you don't speculate, you speak the Supreme Absolute Truth. So how do you do this? And this is where book distribution becomes most important. This is why all leaders must promote book distribution. It is in our system called literary sankirtan. Literary sankirtan. So she says, the answer is by attentive hearing, deep feeling that penetrates the heart and makes the head spin with ecstasy. Now you think, okay, what does that mean? You know? Okay, attentive hearing we can understand, right? When someone is speaking Krishna consciousness, you're listening attentively, that's attentive hearing. Deep feeling that penetrates the heart. Okay, yes. When you hear about Krishna, your heart should be moved. There should be some feeling in your heart. I love this. This is great. And then it says, and makes the head spin with ecstasy. Well, I don't think that happens to many of us, or probably any of us, when you're hearing our heads not spinning with ecstasy, hearing about Krishna. But there is a way it'll spin with ecstasy. And this is the challenge of the leaders. We must make those heads spin with ecstasy. So how do we have that happen? So then she says that the answer is that when we do Krishna Katha, when you have Japa and Kirtan, these are supposed to stir the heart. Your heart should be stirred. It should melt the heart and bring tears to the eyes. So, in doing this, in this process, let me just check what I... Yeah, in this process, she says that in this world, we're going to be suffering from some type of miseries, right? And these are the challenges that we're going to have. So she says, miseries of this world result from five things. First is present and future happiness. Now, most people won't think like that. How can present happiness and future happiness be misery? But it is. Why? Because the happiness of this world will always have some attached misery with it. It's like a coin. A coin is a head side, it's going to have a tail side too. So while you're enjoying in this world, you're going to be attracting some misery alongside it as well. Someone's going to become envious of you. You're going to worry the happiness is going to be over soon. You know, you're happy and nobody else is happy. So you feel like, what type of happiness is that? Future happiness means you're working hard now so that you can enjoy later, right? Like they say, samadhi now, enjoy later. You know, work hard now, you'll have enjoyment later. Well, when you're working hard now, you're suffering some misery, right? So there's going to be misery through that system. Two, she says, misery will come from family affairs. Because in any family affair, there are going to be issues. Recently, I became a grandparent, well, a year ago. And I can tell you, I have never suffered more than since I've had my grandchildren. You know? Because it really worries me, you know? I'm worried every moment for them. It's like, I'm worried, what's going to happen to them? This world is such a nasty place. How are they going to be brought up, you know? And it reminds me of my own childhood. At my time, my childhood, you know, my parents never bothered about me. You know, in the morning I'd take off somewhere, in the night I'd come back. They wouldn't have any idea where I was all day long. You know, I'd be playing somewhere. There was a time I fell into the ocean and there was nobody there to help me. I was able to swim back again to the shore. I could have been gone after that. But at that time, that was, you know, parenting, it was okay to be loose like that. But these days, we're told 1 minute means 1 mile, right? If you allow a child to be out of sight for 1 minute, that child will be 1 mile away from you, can be potentially 1 mile away from you. In 5 minutes, 5 miles away from you. Because so much kidnapping, this, that, and everything happens. So, you know, you sort of, like, what was supposed to be the greatest ecstasy, seeing the grandchildren, also has its concomitant miseries with it. You know? It's actually a fact of life. Because this world is such a place. Jai, Shri Kishore, Kishori ki, jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki, jai. Shri Jagannath Baladeva, Subhadra Maharani ki, jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur ki, jai. Of course, family affairs have a lot of other issues as well. Sometimes husbands and wives don't get along. Children don't get along with the parents. Things happen in families. We all know that. They're not an easy situation. The third, she says, is political intrigue. Between devotees, there's always going to be some politics going on, right? Some devotee says something to you, does something to you, and you feel really crummy about it. But you can't slug the devotee in the face because the devotee is a devotee, you know what I mean? So you cringe about it, and you know, sometimes you leave the temple and you leave the association of the devotees, and you know, all sorts of things happen, right? Amongst devotees, there's going to be politics. The fourth, she says, is bodily pains. Especially when you get older, like I'm getting older now, you'll realize the body will give you pain. You know, there's going to be bodily pains. And the fifth one is the most difficult thing that we face in this world, and that is called unrequited love. Unrequited love. Basically, what this means is we do so many things for others, but they don't always reciprocate how we want them to reciprocate. Or they don't reciprocate adequately, you know? Like we might show love to somebody, but they don't love us back. Or they don't give enough love back. We might respect of others, but they don't give us much respect back. So it's called unrequited love. Means that it's not reciprocated properly. The issues in reciprocation. Like that. So she says, these five types of miseries, she says, sometimes they actually appear as insurmountable as Mount Meru. Now Mount Meru, for those of us who know Vedas, is a very, very big mountain. It's a huge mountain. You can't see the top of it. You know, it's a huge, huge, huge mountain. Your eyesight range won't reach the top of the mountain. It's so big. So even though these miseries appear as insurmountable as Mount Meru, yet they are effortlessly conquered by the supremely powerful Prema. Prema will conquer these effortlessly. Now, how is this going to happen? Because this is the challenge. How is this going to happen? So she says that these five obstacles nourish Prema. They're good for Prema. For Krishna Prema, all these things are perfect. We need this. The more you have, the better for you. Now, most people don't like that. You know, they don't like misery. Everybody runs away from misery, right? Who wants misery? You know. But here, Radharani is saying that these are going to nourish us. And she says that then Prema will radiate imperishable affection, and decorated with wounded pride, thrives without being disturbed by material distress. Because we can see that as we are going through these miseries, people are going to think that, you know, we are losers. Sometimes they laugh at us. Sometimes they criticize us. And we have wounded pride, right? Our pride becomes wounded. You see? Now, all this is going to be applying to us as preachers who go out on the streets. So in our sampradaya, how does Krishna Prema appear? Because it says here, when Krishna Prema appears, all these miseries are defeated, completely destroyed. Even if they're as big as Mount Meru, they're completely destroyed. So in our sampradaya, the process of destroying these miseries is called sankirtana. Sankirtan is the process. So in sankirtan, there is chanting, there's kirtan, and there is what we call the brihad kirtan. The brihad kirtan is the distribution of literature, Krishna conscious literature. Prabhupada so much wanted, because the acharyas so much wanted us to distribute literature. Because by distributing literature, we are doing the brihad kirtan. And of course, when you're distributing literature, it's always nice to have a kirtan party go along with the book distribution party, and also have some prasadam being given out at that time. Because what this does is that this is the ultimate attentive hearing, deep feeling, and head spinning with ecstasy process. Now, how many of you ever go out on sankirtan? Pretty much all of you, right? All of you are sankirtan devotees, yes? Somewhere or other, you're doing sankirtan. Would you agree that the more sankirtan you do, the more you're able to understand Krishna consciousness? It is true, right? You can read Prabhupada's books better. You appreciate Prabhupada's books better when you go out on sankirtan. Your hearing becomes much more attentive. Why? Because you're going to meet people out there who are going to ask some really difficult questions, right? Then what is the answer going to be? What is your answer going to be? How are you going to tell them, like I was saying earlier, that you can even convince an ISIS terrorist about Krishna Prema? How are you going to do that? If you meet the ISIS terrorist, what does he want to do? He wants to chop your head off. He just wants to see that your head just gets chopped off. Now, how are you going to convince that person about Krishna Prema? So you better listen carefully to all the different discourses on Krishna consciousness that you're able to get to. You should read scrutinizingly, hear attentively, right? Then you'll get the answers, because Krishna will reveal the answers in your heart. Radharani will reveal those answers in our hearts as a result. Then what will happen is that we will have some deep feeling in our heart for Krishna, right? We have some deep feeling. Why is it that a lot of us are in the Krishna consciousness movement, despite the fact that the Krishna consciousness movement doesn't give us the very best facilities? Many times you complain, right? Okay, you know, the ashram is too hot. You know, there's no hot water. You have to bathe in cold water. You have to wake up early in the morning. Sometimes there's not enough prasadam. Sometimes, you know, the temple presence is yelling at you. Or somebody's yelling at you. Your mind is yelling at you. What are you doing here? There's a better life out there. What are you doing here in this place? You know, so many things are happening, right? But why are we not leaving? Why aren't we saying, oh, well, heck with all this. Let's just leave. Let's go out and, you know, chase some girl down, some boy down, some dog down, some girl, some cat down, or whatever we chase out there these days. We chase everything out there these days. So, you know, why don't we do that? Because we have some feeling. We have some feeling for Krishna. We have some feeling for Srila Prabhupada, right? I was noticing today when one of you was singing about going Jai Prabhupada, everybody started jumping up and down. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. You have some feeling for Prabhupada. Why do you have some feeling for Prabhupada? You have some feeling for Prabhupada because you do Sankirtan. Because Sankirtan is the first rays of Krishna Prema. And it's actually going to give you full Krishna Prema. It is Krishna Prema. Sankirtan is Krishna Prema in disguise. That's all it is. So the more Sankirtan you do, the more Krishna Prema you're going to get. And as leaders, our challenge is, how can we make an arrangement that the maximum Sankirtan can happen out there? Now, again, for those of you, how many of you can say that when you went out preaching, you met someone, you preached to them, and they accepted it, and they loved it, what you were telling them, and they came to the temple with you, and they took nice prasadam with you, and you felt like you wished you'd never be separated from them because you like to talk to them? And how many of you felt that your head was spinning with ecstasy? Yes? Yeah. We've experienced that. We've experienced our head spinning with ecstasy when you do Sankirtan. So all those three things happen. Attentive hearing, deep feeling in the heart, and head spinning in ecstasy. This is the literary Sankirtan program of Srila Prabhupada. The Brihad Mridanga program of Srila Prabhupada. In which there is chanting, which includes japa, by the way. I notice a lot of people these days who do japa, they're really enjoying it. They really like doing japa. They love it. They're sitting down quietly and they're chanting nicely with deep meditation. You'll be amazed how many people in the Hare Krishna movement now in this world are chanting 64 rounds every day. Every day. I remember one time, the argument was, can they do 16 rounds even? Can these guys even do 16 rounds, you know? Because the question was, you know, that we would hear there was a struggle to get 16 rounds done. Now I see devotees actually doing 64 rounds. 64 rounds a day. Why? Because they're enjoying it. They have some feeling for the chanting now. They like hearing the holy name of Krishna. They know the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. They're the same as Krishna. Krishna has come in the form of the holy name. They want to be with Krishna. Imagine if Krishna walked in now, how would we feel right now? Do any of us say, I don't think I'll have any feeling at all? Krishna came in, okay, one more Krishna coming in, big deal. Is that how you're going to feel? What will happen if Krishna walked into here right now? Most of us will faint, right? We'll knock out. We'll think, oh my God, Krishna turned up? How did that happen? By the way, how many people live in Chicago? How many people? 8 now, must be more than that. Dallas is 9 million now. Dallas, Fort Worth is 9 million, yeah. So I thought Chicago is bigger than Dallas as a city. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we are a bigger city now. Dallas, Fort Worth, the both cities combined, 9 million people. So okay, say 8 million people. If they found out that God turned up at this temple in person, do you think there's anybody out there who won't try to crash into this temple? We'll try to run into this temple to see you. Let's see who God is. Wow, God turned up. Let's all run. 8 million people will try to pack into this temple. Do you think we'll have a problem? If 8 million people try to pack into this temple, will we or will we not have a problem? We'll have a huge problem, right? The temple president will be the first to resign. I'm getting out of here, man. This is a mess. How can you get 8 million people into a small space like this? Everybody's crawling over each other. They're climbing over each other. The helicopter's up there trying to throw some rope down so somebody can come through that way. Somebody, you know, because they were trained in Palestine, they built some underground tunnels and they're coming through the floor trying to get into the temple because they want to see Krishna. Krishna has come to the Hare Krishna temple in Chicago on Lunt Avenue. What do you call it? Lunt Avenue? Huh? Huh? Not Avni. You see? That's feeling, right? So people have these feelings when they're chanting Hare Krishna. Some people are having feeling now. They love it. They love their chanting. Okay? How many people love kirtan? I can say many people love kirtan, right? You see people dancing in kirtan. People don't dance if they're miserable and sad. They dance because they're happy. Right? So kirtan, they love it. And sankirtan, going out there and distributing books and convincing about Krishna consciousness, I can tell you, a lot of us love it. A lot of us love it. It makes our head spin in ecstasy, going out there and meeting people who want to be Krishna conscious. You feel like that's the best person. Just yesterday, when I was coming in, this devotee, Rafiq, came to pick me up, you know, at the airport. And as soon as I saw his face, I read faces, you know, I knew this guy is a great devotee, you know. So we started talking about devotion. I could see how much feeling, even though he's been in the movement, he says, only 1.5 or 2 years. Okay, it comes from a Muslim background, which most Hindus don't believe will ever practice Krishna consciousness, you know, like that. And he's like really into it, Krishna consciousness, all in within 1.5, 2 years. He's totally into Krishna consciousness. Some of us have been around longer, right? Some maybe lesser. But it's a fact that we're actually in ecstasy being in this movement. And we are particularly in ecstasy when we meet some nice person who wants to be Krishna conscious. Or is already in a Krishna conscious. Like our spiritual master or some great sannyasi walks in, who's a great, you know, Krishna conscious devotee, gives us ecstasy meeting that person, right? You know? If you're a disciple of Radhanath Maharaj, and Radhanath Maharaj was to walk into this room right now, your head might spin in ecstasy. You know? You're happy to see him. You think, wow, this is the best thing that can happen. My spiritual master walked into the temple room while I was in the temple room. So the challenge in Krishna consciousness for us as leaders, the challenge is that are we actually preaching in this way? That we are speaking purely the supreme absolute truth. No adding and subtracting. No speculation. Speak as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Krishna consciousness as it is. We speak as it is. Because then that supreme absolute truth is going to act autonomously and independently, and the person is going to become a great Sankirtan preacher that you're talking to. They will reach out. I've seen that many times in my life as a Krishna conscious devotee. I've met people and I thought, this person, they're like a mouse, you know? Not even a peep comes out of their mouth. They're so quiet and withdrawn and everything. And then they go out in book distribution and you see them in book distribution and they're like lions, you know? They're like literally lion-like character, you know, like they're pushing books out there. They're talking to people with ecstasy about Krishna consciousness, you know. And even if someone says no, it doesn't even faze them one little bit. They're on to the next person. And they meet so many nice people and they have so many nice stories. So this is our process. Hare Krishna. I'm sure I've gone way beyond my time of speaking, as I usually do. And so it's 7:26. But the idea was to get some interaction from you all as well. Anybody like to say something, ask a question? Yes, Prabhu. You and then, okay. After that, you give me a second.
I got kind of a broad question. Where do you draw the, I guess say, how much emphasis should we put on inreach and how much emphasis should we put on outreach?
Get the mic a little closer to you. You're saying how much?
How much emphasis?
Emphasis.
Put on inreach?
On outreach?
Focus on self?
Yeah.
And how much should we put on, I guess, saving others?
Reaching out to others. That's you're talking about like a balance question? How do you balance these two? Balancing never works. I'm a great believer. I don't worry about balance. I worry about integration. Means the reason I am becoming Krishna conscious is so that I can also serve others. Because we should see that when we're reaching out to others with preaching, what we're actually doing is we're serving them. We're the servant. We're going as a servant and we're serving our masters. We see that the people that we're preaching to are our masters. So we're serving them. And one way to serve them, just like when you do service for someone else, one of the best things you can do is to prepare yourself, right? So that you become an expert in service. If you become an expert at doing something, then obviously when you're going to give that service to someone else, they're going to really appreciate your service, right? Because you're expert, right? Like say for example, Imagine right now someone told you, and I'm not saying they will tell you this, just imagine, okay, let's forget you because I don't want anybody to feel like I cursed somebody out here or something. But imagine there's a person whose name is John. Again, is there a John down here? Any John, John, John? No Johns, okay, great. All right, so imagine there's a person whose name is John, right? Okay, and he finds out when he goes to the doctor that he's got a brain tumor. Okay, who would he want to operate on his brain tumor? Bhakta Alex, you think? You think Bhakta Alex can do it? Bhakta Alex, by the way, is a very nice brahmachari. He really distributes books very nicely. He chants very nicely. He chants 64 rounds every day. And he does everything that I told him to do, I was saying here. But do you think that John would want that person? No, why not? Because he's not expert at doing brain surgery. You see what I'm saying? So our internal process, the process of taking care of our own person, in terms of becoming more Krishna consciousness, is actually preparing us to serve. Because service is expression of love, right? Imagine, what was the purpose of life? Krishna prema. Prema means what? Prema means what? Love, right? Prema means love. Did you know that? Prema means love? Yeah. So prema means love. Okay, so love is what we're after. Krishna love, love of Krishna, right? Krishna prema. So, when we're actually becoming better as a devotee, our Krishna prema is going up. Now, if we use that to do service, which means we do service as expression of love, now you can see why this is going to be very useful, right? Say, for example, you were trying to help people who were, hungry. Okay, they were hungry, like there were 1 million people in Chicago who are hungry, don't have enough food to eat. What would you need before you can go out and feed them? Huh? Yeah, you need food, you need money, right? You need some money. But if you're a beggar, you're not going to be able to feed 1 million people. So maybe you might get a job or run a business, become a multimillionaire, and now you can feed 1 million people. Do you see what I'm saying? So our own practice of Krishna consciousness is very much tied in to serving others. It's absolutely tied in. The better you are as a devotee, the better you're going to be able to reach out to somebody else. And serve their Krishna consciousness. By the way, everybody is Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is innately in every person because everyone is Krishna's devotee. Everyone is Krishna's servant. You see what I'm saying? So Krishna has already given them Krishna consciousness. All it is that it's become dormant and we're supposed to bring it back to life. It's a little like, when you strike a match, the fire comes out of the match, right? If you wet the blade, the sharp blade comes out. Or if you churn the milk, the butter comes out. So this is like that process that brings out the Krishna consciousness in others. But first the Krishna consciousness comes out in ourself. So in that sense, our personal Krishna consciousness is equally important to our preaching. Both of them are equally important. But it's the same thing, by the way. Both of them are part of the same process. We shouldn't see like that, I'm doing this, I'm also doing that. How much of this should I do? The more you do of this, the more of this will happen. The more you do of this, the more of this will happen too. Automatically, you'll see that happen. You're welcome. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, whenever I see myself that I have a great affection towards Prabhupada, or Krishna consciousness, preaching, book distribution, etc., etc., but when it comes to chanting, what would be the reason that I don't get much taste or I'm unable to do attentive chanting? What would be the reason behind when I enjoy all other things, when I love every other thing in Krishna consciousness, this is the only place where it's taking a lot of time, years together I'm doing, not able to concentrate. So can you just put a light on that?
I'm a bit of a strong speaker, so don't mind if I say some things that might hurt your feelings or somebody's feelings, because from my point of view, I like to give it straight as it is. It is what it is, and I'm going to say what it is. The problem is, you're not crying for Krishna. You're not crying. Krishna only comes if you cry. There's actually a very nice book come out recently, a small book, some of you might have seen it, Cry for Krishna. It says Cry for Krishna. And in every page, you'll have something written about how to cry for Krishna. Okay? Another way to put it is, you have not suffered in this world yet. You're having a good time right now. You're having a good time right now. You're not suffering. If you suffer, you will chant nicely. You know what I'm saying? The problem is we're all having a good time. And because we're having a good time, we're not going deep into our chanting. Because we don't really need the chanting, right? We're doing the chanting because it is a instruction that we've been given. So it's called, what do you call it? Courtesy japa. It's courtesy japa. I'm supposed to do 16 rounds. I've done my 16 rounds. I put the bead back down. I said, now I've done my 16 rounds. Now I can get down to doing some real business. You see? Because that's not my real business. My real business is something else. But I had to get my 16 rounds done, so I got it done. Now I can do something I really love doing, you know? Like that. Our problem is we've not suffered in this world. We're not really suffered. And we're not crying for Krishna. Because we're not suffering, we're not crying either. You know, Hare Krishna movement gives you the best food, right? I see that everybody's very healthy. Nobody's like emaciated down here. Look like they're going to die tomorrow because they don't have enough food. Okay, we have best food, best kirtan, best philosophy, best deities, right? Best of everything, actually. Really, we live better than kings. I don't think the kings in this world enjoy as much as we enjoy Hare Krishnas. So how are you going to chant Hare Krishna nicely now? You're having a good time. So chanting is for the sake of chanting. You do your chanting. But you really don't understand. We don't want to understand that when we are chanting, then Krishna is dancing on our tongue. Actually dancing on our tongue. We don't feel the presence of Krishna. Like we said here, there's no feeling. We're not hearing the name properly. We're not feeling. And our head is not spinning in ecstasy. There's no prema. Or very little prema. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. Including me. There's not enough prema. So because of that, we don't have attachment. Affectionate attachment, it said, right? Free of all speculation. Alone, such a person can sit on the throne of natural love. By the way, this is an alone process. It's a lonely process. It's your relationship with Krishna. My relationship with Krishna is my relationship. Your relationship is your relationship. So each and every one has to take personal responsibility to love our Krishna personally. We all have our own Krishna, personal Krishna, in the spiritual world. When you go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you'll see you have your Krishna too. He's been waiting for you all this while since you left. And we're having a good time here thinking, nothing to worry about, we're going to enjoy in this world. When something goes wrong, I'll pray to Krishna. When it goes right, forget Krishna, enjoy again, you know. This is something that I say, which is also very controversial, but I say it anyway. Krishna has already come 15,000 times in this life of this Brahma, right? Because it is said that Krishna comes every day of Brahma, and Brahma just celebrated his 50th birthday. Okay, so that means 18,000 days of Brahma has already gone by, because Brahma lives for 36,000 days of his time. So 18,000 days have gone by, and every day Krishna comes one. Why do I say 15,000? It's because the first 3,000 days, Brahma was not able to create much. So he prayed to his guru, and his guru told him to chant. He chanted, then Krishna came, then he started. So the first time Krishna came was on the 15,000th day of our 3,000 day of Brahma, right? So since then, 15,000 times, Krishna has already come, and Lord Chaitanya has already come 15,000 times. The last time they came, that was the 15,001st visit of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Now, we missed the boat all those 15,000 times of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. What is the proof that we're not going to miss the boat 15,001 and we're going to wait for 15,002? Which, by the way, is another 8,640,000,000 years from now. Think about what I just said. I know it shocks people and they say, how can you say that? You rascal and everything. I don't mind being called a rascal. A good devotee can terrorize a terrorist. You can terrorize a terrorist, you're a devotee. That's what it means to be a leader. You should never be scared of speaking the truth. Doesn't matter what it means. You are thrown out of Hare Krishna, that's good. No problem. I can preach outside, I can preach inside. I can preach left side, right side, upside, downside, any side we can preach. Who can stop preaching? Nobody can stop preaching, right? Preaching is autonomous and independent. Now, I'm not going to get thrown out of Krishna, I'm just saying. Even if I get thrown out for making statements like this, bold statements like this. 15,000 times we missed the boat with Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. What is the guarantee that we're going to not miss the boat in 15,001? I think the guarantee is pretty good that you're going to miss the boat. And you'll be waiting for 15,002. And by the way, I don't even know how many times we already got breathed out by Lord Vishnu and breathed in and breathed out and breathed out. Because every time he breathed, you know, 33,000 times Krishna had already come and Lord Chaitanya had already come. So every breath of Vishnu that I went out of and into, add another 33,000 times that already happened. So how many thousands of times Krishna has come and Lord Chaitanya has come? I'm still hanging around in the world today. Why? Because we're so stubborn. We do not like chanting Hare Krishna. We do not like kirtan. We do not like sankirtan. We do not like to preach. And we're having a good time in the material world. Well, Krishna says, great, you're having a great time in the material world. That's why I created the material world. So you can have a great time. Please have a great time. The only people who will leave the material world are those who say, I'm tired of this now. I'm sick and tired of this. This is way over my head and I'm just done with the material world. It's over. The only reason, like Prabhupada gives a very perfect definition of Krishna consciousness. He says, Krishna consciousness means that one always lives with Krishna on that spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan, and one is simply waiting to give up this material body. Means everything we should be doing, we should be thinking, I'm not doing it in Chicago, I'm doing it on Golok Vrindavan. Now, how would you behave if you were on Golok Vrindavan? I think you'd behave much nicer, right? Chicago is like hell. I mean, I'm not complaining against Chicago, by the way. Dallas is like hell too. Every place on this planet is like hell. In fact, this is the last stop before hell starts. Did you know that? Earth planet is the last planet in the middle planetary system after which the hellish planets start. We are the last bus stop. Everybody is headed in that direction. The bus is going through this last bus stop. The next bus stop is in hell. We're supposed to go to them and say, get off the bus. You gotta get off the bus here, man. We need to go back to Krishna Loka. Not that direction. Let's go back to Krishna Loka. So, actually, we're in hell. But we're thinking, I'm not in hell. I'm in a nice place. America is the best country in the world. India is the best country in the world. I come from Fiji. So the Fijians say, Fiji is the best country in the world. And each of these places is pure hell. That's all it is. Really. There's nothing great about these places. Everything stinks. It's all cheating process. Now you might say, well, you fanatical Hare Krishnas, that's how you speak. Well, it's the truth. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. The fact is, sitting in a temple, we can understand we're in Vaikuntha, we're in Krishna Loka, because the deities are here. The Lord is here himself. Krishna is actually here. I don't see any of us fainting right now, by the way, but Krishna is here. Radharani is here. They're actually here. They're hearing this and they're saying, none of these guys are fainting. Did you notice that? Krishna is saying to Radharani. Kishore is saying to Kishore, do you notice nobody's fainting down here? Nobody's got real deep feeling in their heart. Nobody's head is spinning. We're here, but nobody's head is spinning. Does that tell us our position in this world? And we're the leaders, by the way. The devotees are the leaders of this world. The devotees actually know the truth. They can speak the truth. And by the way, it's going to be obvious. Hare Krishna movement is going to be much more powerful than any other movement out there. Because it speaks the Supreme Absolute Truth. It's going to work. But the point is, our standard is very poor. And that's the challenge as leaders. We must raise our standards. We must become better devotees. We should have feeling when you look at the deities, we should feel like, wow, I'm so fortunate. I got to see the deity. Every day we come to the temple, we should think, I've never seen the deity. I wonder what they look like today. Wonder what they look like. When we see them, think, wow, I never saw Kishore Kishori like this. I never saw Gaur Nithai like this. I never saw Jagannath Baladev Subhadra like this. By the way, Subhadra is Yoga Maya. She's the one who creates all the arrangements for everybody to be a nice devotee. Now, how many people think of Subhadra as a great, you know, everybody's praying on this side, not many people praying on that side, right? But actually the real strength is on that side too. Yoga Maya is there. Yoga Maya actually puts even Krishna into illusion. She makes all the arrangements, by the way, for all the wonderful, the best pastimes of Kishore Kishori happen by the arrangements of Yoga Maya. She's Krishna's favorite person. What do we know? You see, we know very little. That's our problem. We speak a lot of hot air. That's all we're doing. We really need to get with it, with our chanting, our kirtan, and our Sankirtan and our Brihad Sankirtan, which is the Brihad Mridanga, the literary Sankirtan. Every one of us should be writing. Everyone should have a log, some type of a, you know, what do you call it? Journal, something like that, Well, write a book. Prabhupada wanted everybody to write a book. Publish it. These days you can publish a book quite easily. You can do an e-book or something like that, publish it. You'll be amazed what will happen in your life when you start writing. Because you'll read very, very carefully after that. Yes? Prabhuji? Yeah, then I'll come to you, Prabhu, after him. I think it's working, right? Is it on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. For
very wonderful, enlivening, wonderful class. My question is, it's not so much a question, I would like to ask some of your realizations about the effects of musicians in the movement. You know, like George Harrison had a very big role in spreading Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And myself as an occupational thing, you know, that's kind of what I do. So I was just wondering if you have any insights about...
Well, some of our best devotees have been musicians in our movement. You know, Mukunda Datta, so many nice devotees in our movement were great, great, great musicians. When we sing the Sandhyarti song, right? We talk about all these wonderful devotees singing in the Sandhyarti song, right? What is that verse? Talks about Ghosh Adi Gaya. What is the full verse? I forget the first line of that verse. But you know, when you sing the Sandhyarti song, right? Kiba Jaya Jaya. In that song, there are some devotees who are named who are very, very powerful musicians. The top singers and musicians, you know. So music, it is said in the spiritual world, every step is a dance and every word a song. So music is huge. Huge preaching process. Huge preaching process. In fact, we're just talking right now in the GBC meeting part of it, how we should create mini festivals on music, based on music. People go and set up a music stage and they create nice, you know, kirtan, singing and everything, and somebody can be distributing books and somebody is talking to somebody, join us for the dancing on the stage, this, that, and the other, and you find that it all, everybody becomes very Krishna conscious by that process. So if Krishna has given you that mercy by that skill of being able to do music, it's a very, very, very powerful mercy that will allow you to reach out to many wonderful people as a result. Thank you very much. Prabhuji?
Prabhu, there are two internet questions actually.
Two questions. Yeah. Two internet questions, yes please.
Yeah. The first one is about the statement about leaders must be preachers.
Leaders must be preachers, yes.
Yeah. So is this why only the twice born should be leader, should be leading others? A question.
What was the question again?
I'll repeat it. About leaders must be preachers. Is this why the twice born should be leading others?
The twice born should be
leading others. Okay. And then the continuation is, if so, it seems to apply to all of humanity, not just within the ISKCON society.
Hmm. So, very good. Yes, well, twice born means that one has got spiritual birth, right? From material birth, now you've got spiritual birth as well. That is what twice born means. And Prabhupada described that everybody who was in the movement is a pure devotee, meaning that because everybody is trying to follow the Sankirtan process, the Sankirtan process gives you access to Krishna Prema, which is actually what is working. What is really working is Krishna Prema. So outside of the movement, if they are also preaching Krishna consciousness, then that will be leadership. If they're not, it's not leadership. That's not what they're doing. What they're doing is some type of business, you know what I mean? They're leaders because they want something back in return. Now someone can argue, but the devotees are doing the same thing. We're wanting something back in return. Actually, we're not. We're not. Why? Because just like Prabhuji said, right, that we promote our own Krishna consciousness by practicing sadhana and doing things that promote our Krishna consciousness, right? We don't chant for somebody else, right? We don't say that, okay, the temple president can chant 64 rounds, so four devotees don't have to chant now. We don't do that. You see what I'm saying? Everybody does their own chanting. You see what I'm saying? So in our case, when we reach out to people and we're leading them, Prabhupada said the leading must be for their benefit. So the question we have to ask is, What does the word benefit mean? Benefit, Prabhupada says, is spiritual, not material. So twice born outside who are not spiritual, right? Because sometimes they're twice born. There are Brahmins out there who are not spiritual. They're really materialistic. They do Brahminical work because they want to make money. Like, nowadays, Brahmin business is pretty good business, right? You can earn good money. I remember one of the Hindu temple leaders came to me and said, Nityananda, he said, you're a great, pujari, you know what I mean? Why don't you come and work for us? We'll make sure we pay you, you know, $80,000 every year. You're highly paid. You can even earn $150,000, he said. You know, why are you working for the Hare Krishnas? They don't give you anything. And I said, but you have no understanding of what we're doing in the Hare Krishna movement. There's a huge difference between what you guys are doing and what we're doing. He says, what's the difference? I said, what we're doing is that we're serving Krishna. What you're doing is you're serving your senses. I said, there's a huge difference between these two. You see what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't matter how much money you earn after that, it's useless. So in that sense, that leaders must be persons, Prabhupada also says at one place, they should be perfect. They should be always speaking the supreme absolute truth. No speculation. And they should be representing Krishna, who is the supreme leader. It said here, Krishna is the supreme leader. They're representing Krishna. So they're doing exactly what Krishna wants, what Guru wants, because Guru is also representative of Krishna, like that. What was the second question?
The second question was, he just wanted to, can you please repeat the four miseries which we should see as nourishing prema? You mentioned four miseries, right?
Four?
Miseries.
Five miseries.
Five
I mentioned. The first was present and future happiness. Present and future happiness. The second was family affairs. The third was political intrigue. The fourth was bodily pains. And the fifth was unrequited love. Unrequited means not properly responded back again, not reciprocated enough back. So that's called unrequited love, like that. So these are the five miseries, actually. And we can see amongst devotees, these are the five things that actually bother us the most, you know. Like one thing about present happiness is, if you eat too much prasadam, right, it gives you present happiness. You can eat a lot of prasadam, it'll give you a lot of present happiness, but you can have problems in the future as a result. You're not supposed to eat too much prasadam. Prabhupada said it's okay to eat too much prasadam for the first 6 months and you become roly-poly. It means, you know, you're as wide as you are tall. So you become roly-poly, like that. But only first 6 months. After that, you have to be careful how much you eat. You only eat as much as necessary. Don't eat more than that, like that. And as devotees, we have to agree that we're all guilty of eating too much prasadam. So these are present happiness, and future happiness is also there. We're looking to things into the future that we're thinking, I'll have a great future and do great things in the future. There's no need to be concerned about the future. Be concerned about the now. If we're doing everything now perfectly, everything will work out. The future will work out perfectly. But we're doing it on behalf of Guru and Krishna, like that. That's the idea. And it's Sankirtan. It's pure Sankirtan. Everything is oriented to Sankirtan. We do deity worship for Sankirtan. We cook for Sankirtan. We dance for Sankirtan. We do Kirtan for Sankirtan. We chant Japa for Sankirtan. Everything we do is for Sankirtan. Temple presidency is for Sankirtan. You know, we wash our clothes for Sankirtan. Why? Because everything we're doing with Krishna on that spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan. And in Golok Vrindavan, they say, Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtan. Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtan. So there they're doing Sankirtan all the time. It's pure Sankirtan all the time going on. Like that. So our processes, we do it here now all the time. We breathe Sankirtan. We talk Sankirtan. We laugh Sankirtan. We think Sankirtan. We pass stool Sankirtan. We everything Sankirtan. Everything we do must be Sankirtan. Must be aimed at Sankirtan. The only reason we do anything is for Sankirtan. Otherwise, we have no purpose in this world. We're just a dead body flapping about. That's all it is. Dead body flapping about. Now, I'm not critical. I'm not criticizing those who don't do Sankirtan. I'm saying when they will do Sankirtan, they will realize this is actually fact. This has been our experience. We've tried this, we've seen it works every time for every devotee. Now, sometimes it doesn't work because some devotees are a little rough with the other devotees. They don't train them nicely on Sankirtan. You know, what does it mean to be Sankirtan? Sankirtan really means love of Krishna. Everything we do in Sankirtan is joyfully performed. Don't ever get mad, you know, that you have to go out selling book, doing book distribution. Be happy. Everything you do, be happy. If you sweep the floor, be happy. If you have to fast on Ekadasi, be happy. Do everything with happiness. That is love. Love means happiness must be there. Like that. Maharajis, have any questions? You're all very shy. You're all looking like you understood best. You have a question? Yes, go ahead. Can you get a mic to her?
You just said anything you do, be happy. Do yes. It with a happy feeling.
Yes.
But if you don't have that happy feeling, how can you make it artificially?
Very good. Very good question. So basically the idea is that first of all, we try to understand what is our nature, right? And we act according to our nature. We know there are certain things we like to do. Okay? Now there are some things we have to do that we don't like to do. That is your question. How do you like to do things that you don't like to do? I'll tell you a story of what happened when Srila Prabhupada was here. There's a very nice devotee, her name was Govindadasi. And so she was serving Prabhupada Prasadam, and Prabhupada said, I want you to type for me. And she said, I don't know how to type, Prabhupada. I actually don't even like typing. But Prabhupada said, no, that's okay. Since I have to ask you to type, it's something spiritual. Spiritual things require the instruction of the spiritual master, and you can do it. So he said, all you have to do is, you have to chant 2 mantras before you type, and you'll become first class in your typing. And he gave her the 2 mantras. The first mantra was Om Gyana Timirandhasya Gyan Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miltam Yena Tasmei Shri Guruve Nama. And the second mantra was Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swam Rupa Kadamajam Dadati Swapadantikam. Now you try this, okay? You try this. You don't like to do something, just chant these 2 mantras and tell yourself, because this will please Krishna, I'm going to do it anyway. And you will see, you will love it after a while. You will say, yes, I like it. She became an expert typist, a very good typist. So the thing with spiritual life is nothing is an impediment. Nothing can stop us. Even the things we don't like cannot stop us. We will even like the things that we don't like if we are doing it for the service of Krishna. But it should be for the service of Krishna. It should not be for any other purpose. You see what I'm saying? It's for the service of Krishna. Because our activities are for the service of Krishna, there should be nothing that we feel, I don't like doing it, therefore I'm not going to do it. No. We can do it. All we have to do is chant these 2 mantras and then do it. And you will see, you'll become good at it. Very soon, you'll become very good at it. In fact, you will see miraculous things happen in your life. Like some people don't even like to wake up in the morning, right? True? You see somebody waking up and the alarm clock goes, and turn the alarm clock off and they think, I want to stay in bed for a little while longer. I really don't want to get out of bed. You know, they don't even look forward to the day. Well, I tell them, you chant these 2 mantras and then get up. Chant these 2 mantras so your day will go nicely too. So you can have some nice days now because you chanted these 2 mantras. And ask the Lord, please bless me so that I can enjoy my life today in your service. Like that. It's miraculous how things happen when you do these things. Absolutely miraculous. Yes, bro. Does that satisfy you, by the way? Are you okay with that? Yes? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much.
Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
You mentioned that the Absolute Truth does not require anything else to proliferate itself.
That's right.
But don't we understand that Krishna's system is through the devotees,
yes,
specifically the spiritual master, he spreads himself and his
right.
knowledge.
Right, right, right.
Is there any...
Yes, it's the expression of love, right? Krishna does not need devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. The devotees want to serve Krishna in spreading Krishna consciousness. They know how much it will please Krishna, right? So they want to do it. So Krishna gives them the opportunity and says, yes, please. Since you love doing this, I will let you do it. So actually it is our great fortune that Krishna has given us this opportunity that we can preach Krishna consciousness. You see what I'm saying? But he doesn't really need us. By the way, there are lots of devotees in the spiritual world who love doing Sankirtan. In fact, the numbers are so large, the mind-boggling numbers are there of people. So there are people lined up to do this service. But this time in Kali Yuga, Krishna wanted to give this opportunity to the fallen. So he comes as Lord Chaitanya himself and gives this opportunity to us, the fallen, and says, would you like to do this? This is the best service in creation. You see what I'm saying? It's a little like, say for example, imagine that if you work for Microsoft, you're going to become a millionaire. Right? Because they pay so well. Just imagine. I don't think that happens. Although they do say Microsoft has created a lot of millionaires. But anyway, but let's just say, if you work for Microsoft, automatically you're going to become a millionaire. Right? How many people in this world would like to work for Microsoft? A lot of people, right? But not everybody is going to be allowed to work for Microsoft. So somebody who gets the opportunity to do that work will feel, I'm lucky, I got the job. It's like, you know, you're in America. You're born in America, by the way? Yeah, okay. So those of us not born in America, like I was born in Fiji, there are people from other countries in this world who like to live in America. Because they think that in America, the roads are paved with gold and there's honey flowing down the streets. You know what I mean? Milk and honey is flowing down the streets and the roads are paved with gold. And if you put your hand up in the air, you'll catch $100 bills flying by you. You just have to grab them, that's all. That's American life. So they walk from South America to America, thousands of miles, by the way. The girls get raped, this, that, and the other. It's okay. They pay all that price to get into America. So when they arrive into America, you know how they feel? They feel ecstasy. They feel liberated. We made it. United States of America. Okay. Those of us in America know that that's not quite true. America is not that great. You know what I mean? We have problems too. Not that everything's so great. But the point is, that's how they feel. You see what I'm saying? Because they come from places that don't have the freedom that America has, the opportunities that America has. You see what I'm saying? So that's why they feel like that. In the same way, the freedom of being in Golok Vrindavan, the opportunity of Sankirtan in Golok Vrindavan is so great. It is so miraculously great. The fact that we've been given this opportunity, please, you can come to Golok Vrindavan instead of hanging around in that crummy Chicago neighborhood that you're living in, or the crummy Dallas neighborhood that you're living in. You know? Jai Shishi Ra Shishi Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Shishi Go Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You get the point? The point is that we are being given an opportunity that is so beautiful, so powerful, so relishable that devotees are very happy to engage in that service. So then, what is the service? The service is broadcasting or proliferating the Supreme Absolute Truth. By doing that, it pleases Krishna unlimitedly. You see what I'm saying? It's just like Lord Chaitanya found this mango tree that had all these wonderful mangoes on it, that was the most relishable mangoes, that didn't have any stone inside, no pit inside, and no skin, all just wonderful flesh, just put in your mouth and it melts in your mouth, you know, wonderful mango taste. And he said, I've got so many mangoes, you know. Please help me distribute these mangoes. Please help me distribute love of God. He doesn't need us to distribute love of God. He said he had already liberated the three worlds. So why are we here? To do what? He's trying to give us the opportunity to enjoy the process, to actually get the credit. Not that we want the credit. We're not interested in credit. But we do enjoy the process. We do enjoy speaking on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, by the way, and, you know, distributing pure love of God to others like that. So yes, the pure love of God does not require us to proliferate itself. But when somebody does it voluntarily, it creates a lot of happiness. See, one day you might get married. I don't know if you will, you know, because a lot of brahmacharis decide they want to be brahmacharis for life. But I find a lot of brahmacharis do get married. And when you get married and you have children, okay, you will realize that when a child gives you a birthday gift, that's ecstasy. Now, where did the child get the money for the birthday gift? From you. You didn't need the child to buy the gift for you. You could have bought it yourself. In fact, you probably would have bought a better gift, right? Because you know a little better what you like and what you don't like. But the fact that the child is expressing his or her love for you, that's priceless. It's priceless. So we're children of Krishna. You know, Prabhupada, when he brought Kala Chanji to Dallas, right? So some of the devotees asked, why you brought him to Dallas? Dallas is not a famous place. Famous places in the U.S. are like New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I mean, at that time, 1970, 71, Dallas was unknown except for this one movie program or some TV program that was going on called Dallas. Other than that, nobody knew Dallas, you know what I mean? It was like, even today, a lot of people, Texas, oh, it's down there, you know what I mean? All simple-minded people, not very intelligent people live in Texas, you know. It's all the dumb crowd, the skinheads and rednecks and all the, what do they call those guys who come from Mexico? Wetbacks and ABCDEs from India, you know. American-born, confused Desis, ABCDs from India live in Texas. Okay? So people think like that. But the point is that wherever you are, if someone who is subordinate to you voluntarily shows you love, it actually gives a lot of happiness. And Krishna says that one who spreads this message to my devotees, one who preaches this message to my devotees is most dear. And there is no person more dear than he. Right? He says that, right? In the Bhagavad Gita. One who spreads this message of the Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me, and no one is more dear than he. So that's what we're doing. We're actually serving Krishna, meaning we're expressing our love to Krishna. We're saying to Krishna, we love you the most. And Krishna, by the way, is a real jealous God, you know. Aham, what does it say? It says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. No one outside of me, you all surrender to me. Only my lotus feet, you know. He's a very jealous God, right? Very possessive lover, you know. He's a very jealous, possessive lover. He wants us to exclusively think of him. In fact, there's a thing, like we say, Sankirtan Party, right? SKP, Sankirtan Party. So SKP stands for solely for Krishna's pleasure. Solely for Krishna's pleasure, SKP. That's Sankirtan Party. In every way I can show you, the connection to prema is with Sankirtan. These two are exactly the same thing, coming in two different looks. You know, two different looks. Just like Krishna and Lord Chaitanya is the same person, two different looks. But the same person. Sankirtan and Krishna prema, same. Two different looks. So we're very fortunate. We can engage in this process. Everybody can. We see so many devotees who join, they do Sankirtan. It's not like they're very qualified, right? What qualification do we have? In fact, the only qualification we have is somehow we stumbled across this system. We got the mercy, you know what I mean? We stumbled across it. I know I didn't do anything that gave me this, that I became deserved to be a Krishna conscious person. Nothing I did in my life prior to coming to Hare Krishna. In fact, I did the opposite. We tried to bomb the Hare Krishna temple. We tried to kill the devotees. We went to the Supreme Court to try and remove the deities from the deities and the devotees from you from Fiji. Nonsense things like this we did. Still, Krishna gave me the opportunity to become a devotee. That tells you there is nobody who loves anybody more than Krishna. Look at Putana, right? She tried to poison him. And he gave her the position of mother, created a special planetary system for her, made her his mother. What a great reward, right? And here we're all trying to chant Hare Krishna. No idea who Krishna is, really. You know, we think we know Krishna. If we knew who Krishna was, we'll go crazy. All of us would be certified mad, sitting in the mental asylum. You know, we literally go mad, I tell you. That's how great Krishna is. So we're very fortunate, that's all I can say. That's why we're doing the service, because Krishna is allowing us. Anybody else? Anything else? No? Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai Shri 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 Jagannatha Baladeva Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Nithai Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol.